Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
That sounds good to me.
Yep.
All right, cool. Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Once again, all hope is not lost. Scotland are level in the series against Argentina and we go forth to the decider this weekend. Matt, can you feel that hope building?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In your loins.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, after the first 40 or kind of 35 minutes at the weekend, it was a pretty dark place to be in. But all of a sudden, all the Northern Hemisphere teams winning at the weekend, we didn't fuck up at the final stage. And we got a chance to actually, you know, win a series, which at the start of it was looking pretty unlikely. So I think hope's rising.
Did you have COVID while you were watching it, or did that come sort of post the Scotland win?
Yeah, the stress of watching it just like completely wrecked my immune system.
Yeah, you lost all immunity.
Yeah. I think I had it beforehand, so I was sort of spluttering my way through a kind of like bipolar performance.
Alan, did you enjoy it at the weekends? You're usually a chirpy guy.
It's nice. It's nice to have that sort of little treat at the end of the day. Now, yeah. Especially now you don't have sort of like the social pressure of having to go out on Saturday nights. So, it's absolutely wonderful. Enjoying the Sky coverage as well. Been the sort of bar of like what's acceptable from a broadcast standpoint has just been lowered so much by just sort of weeks of Premier Sports that actually like having sort of like a professional broadcast setup is truly wonderful.
It was Hoggy and Barclay, wasn't it?
Yeah. No.
The Hoggy and Barclay, and when they went to the studio at halftime, brilliant. They were both like, what the fuck was that? Like, they both didn't know what to say at the first half performance. And yeah, even Hoggy was like, what is going on? We're all over the shop.
Do you think Hoggy's, if they win at the weekend, do you think Hoggy will be a bit gutted that Grant Gilchrist has led them to a series win?
Just don't think an Argentina tour series is that big a deal for someone like Hoggy. I don't know. Maybe I'm underselling it, but I just don't think he's going to be that bothered.
Hey, Grant Gilchrist leads us to victory in Argentina. Is he not holding on to that captain's armband for the autumn?
Yeah. I think it's wrapped up. I think Richie has it no matter what.
Oh, you think so? Gilchrist is the transitional man.
Yeah.
He's not even going back to Hoggy.
100%.
Yeah. Well, we will see. And of course, we will be building up to the game on social media as well as in this pod. So follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And Matt made a barnstorming return to the newsletter at the weekend. So get yourself onto Substack. That's Thistle Scottish Rugby on there. And that's every Monday morning you'll get our take on the week's news. Speaking of news, breaking today from Rob Robertson at the Scottish Daily Mail, looks like Scotland forwards coach John Dalziel has emerged in the frame. I'm not going to put him as front runner, but certainly in the frame for the Glasgow head coach job. We put out some tweets earlier. Safe to say it's not going down incredibly well with the Glasgow faithful. Matt, if DL does sort of make the switch over or even sort of dual job with the national side, what do you think? What do you think for Glasgow one, and what do you think it says about the way the SRU are sort of approaching this appointment?
Yeah, well, when I heard the news, I was probably feeling a pretty similar way to a lot of the Glasgow fans, i.e. pretty underwhelmed. I think, but then you look at it and, you know, Townsend was appointed to the Glasgow job without having any head coach experience. And I think there were a lot of concerns at the time. And obviously that worked out really well. But then at the same time, you know, Glasgow recently have effectively did the same thing with Danny Wilson, right? Moved him from a Scotland post across to Glasgow. And that worked out pretty disastrously in the end. And that was a guy who actually had head coach experience. Clearly, John Dalziel has a lot of potential and is well regarded within that setup. But I get the sense that most Glasgow fans were expecting an established name that had proper head coach experience after the Danny Wilson years. So I think overall it's a little bit underwhelming.
It's just to counter that, I've seen a bit of the narrative online is that the SRU are pouring more favor on Edinburgh, and this is just like another example of that. And I feel like people sort of forget where like Mike Blair came from. I guess like the only difference between Mike Blair and John Dalziel is that Mike Blair's probably got a bit of a like stronger brand with like the Scottish public. Like they were both like assistant.
100%.
Yeah, that, you know, they were both like, I mean, Mike Blair's probably had less coaching experience significantly less coaching experience with John Dalziel and was only ever an assistant coach at Glasgow and Scotland. But because he's just got that sort of brand name, I feel like people sort of saw it in a slightly different light to this John Dalziel kind of rumour.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, you were saying before we came on air that you think Mark Dodson should spend his bonus on getting a coach in, don't you?
Well, I did like your analogy today of the Godwin's Law, that which follows any sort of problem within Scottish rugby, within about four or five tweets, Mark Dodson's bonus is brought up.
100%.
The thing about
on a serious point, do you think does John Dalziel look like a cheap option?
Well, that's what I was just going to say, that it probably does look like a cheap option. And I think Dodson had talked about in the search for the Glasgow coach that like they were going to leave no stone unturned and that they were going to look to establish names, you know, sort of like big experienced guys. I think if the Danny Wilson experience hadn't been so bad and is so fresh in the memory, then, you know, there's positives to it in terms of the guy who's got some decent coaching experience, including with a national setup, a young Scottish coach, which I think, you know, people probably criticize us for. There'd be some criticism if a foreign coach came in. But I think given that context, like, it just does feel slightly like a cheaper option. And the fact that like the rumor is that he would combine his Scotland role with the Glasgow role as well, kind of makes it look as if it's just a bit of a sort of convenient sticking plaster, really.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's probably one of the biggest points is the fact that you would have someone coming in to be head coach at Glasgow, which kind of feels quite a pivotal point in terms of they sort of lost their way a little bit, especially since not only sort of maybe since Rennie left and then sort of people like Hoggy and Finn moved on. But to have someone who was only part-time, especially when the rest of the coaching staff isn't massively experienced as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got, from the Scotland perspective as well, you know, a Scotland team that is not in great shakes, sort of a year out from a World Cup, sort of losing its forwards coach for 50% of the time, or at least them having their sort of eye on a different ball. It seems to me that's the biggest thing that makes it sort of a suboptimal option. I think if John Dialgo is full-time, then okay. He's got good credentials and he could be the next Mike Blair. I'm sure that's what he wants to be, the next Mike Blair. But you know what I mean.
But honestly, what do you think John Dalziel's doing when Scotland aren't playing? He's just sort of chilling at Murrayfield, watching tapes of...
Tapes?
I guess...
Watching VHSs.
I'm never like quite clear what the role of sort of like an assistant coach is when outside of probably some like, of the...
Yeah, probably put to work in like the marketing department or something like that. Probably doing like commercial jobs with Al Kellick or something like that.
Just like brainstorming like the next hashtag for the Edinburgh team.
What is it? It does hit different. That's the one.
John Dalziel came up with it. Hits different. I don't know. There's podcasts and stuff to do, isn't there?
That's true.
He's an alternate presenter to Mossy. But anyway, we'll keep on that. And speaking of coaches and, well, potentially Edinburgh bias, they're getting a new coach this week as well, fresh from Australia. So it is a sexy foreign appointment. Michael Todd joining from the Queensland Reds as the new defence coach. Matt, do we know much about him?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I'd come across his name before. I suppose at the Reds at the moment, their head coach is Brad Thorne, who's sort of, I think, done a pretty good job there and is obviously a far more well-known name. But you look at his credentials and like he's, I mean, the fact he's only, we're discussing this before, only 32 years old is pretty mental. And he's now a sort of second in line or defence coach for a big-ish UK club is pretty nuts. But I think having followed like Super Rugby a little bit in the last few years, the Reds are probably the first or second strongest Australian side now. And him and Thorne have been driving that. So I think his credentials, although they're pretty short, like so far look pretty good.
Replacing Callum Kitty-McRae, who obviously left. Where's he going? He's going to Treviso?
Benetton, yeah.
Benetton, Treviso. Let's do another trip to the Southern Hemisphere. Announced today by Glasgow, but known by lots of people for a long time previously to that, Jamie Doby is playing down in New Zealand for Bay of Plenty. Sort of fairly delayed announcement aside, Alan, you know, Jamie Doby experiencing a bit of a different rugby culture, getting exposure in the sort of Southern Hemisphere seems like quite a good thing at his sort of part of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be absolute class. I guess one of the things for him, I guess having come into Glasgow so young, he's potentially sort of not had as much sort of an opportunity to, I guess, you know, do any sort of travelling, etc. So this kind of helps him sort of tick off that box, whilst at the same time ultimately playing at a pretty high standard of rugby. So Bay of Plenty, probably mid-table URC team. So out in New Zealand, playing a high standard of rugby in a area of New Zealand that's pretty banging, to be fair. I think it sort of checks all the boxes, and you'd like to think they'll sort of come back with quite a bit of game time under his belt.
And they tend to have kind of a few All Blacks or maybe like fringe All Blacks players in their squad, right? When it comes to the, is it ITM now?
ITM. I can't actually remember what the NPC was. They do have Sam Kane.
NPC. Yeah, Sam Kane.
Bunnings NPC. They got Sam Kane. I think the captain is that guy, Aidan Ross, who there was the rumours that he was potentially Scots qualified, but had his first cap for New Zealand at the weekend.
Yeah.
We're just reading the press release. And did you know that the loan deal further deepens the relationship with Bay of Plenty and Glasgow Warriors?
Because
do you know what links there are?
Hugh Blake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Current Warrior Cole Forbes joined from the NPC side in 2021, and Warrior number 252, Shug Blake, represented the side.
There you go. So and you know. The Bay of Plenty coach is Daryl Gibson, who played for Glasgow 2008.
Not mentioned in the press release. Maybe he left. Is it not? Cloud.
That's no, quite brutal. Not.
Which is so strange. The only thing I was thinking was, I would assume that off the back of the sort of Chile and Argentina tour, that Price and Horn will be given a bit of a rest. Is Horn still out there? A sort of backup to White and Price. So, you know, if Glasgow are going back in for pre-season, you know, as of Monday, then you've kind of only got Sean Kennedy.
That Jordan Lennart guy as well.
Jordan Lennart guy. I guess it's just whether you would have expected sort of to be sort of the starting scrum half as you sort of ease Price and Horn back in, because I imagine they want to give them a bit of a rest, given the fact that this, once they sort of have a bit of a rest after this tour, it's basically full steam ahead for about 40 months till the end of the World Cup, right? But
apparently it was Townsend's idea, so maybe he's pulled rank.
I mean, I think it is good because in the natural order of things, Dobie's been, he's sort of in this weird no man's land where he's like 24th man for Scotland, but not getting any games at Glasgow.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to go and play somewhere. But we'll keep an eye on that. It seems to be, and obviously it comes off the news of a couple of the Edinburgh young lads playing down in Australia as well. So there seems to be a little bit of creative thinking going on there in the SRU. What a problem that requires an awful lot of creative thinking is the state of our under-20s side. They played their final game in the summer series, going down 41-24 to Ireland. Matt, it's been a pretty pitiful sort of under-20s series. Another handful of losses, another, you know, pretty big losses as well. I mean, what's going on down there?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, I think that there was an article on the Offside Line today sort of making the point that success at the under-20s and age groups in general can be cyclical. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you think of that, just pre-COVID, I think, that the under-20s went down to Wales with Chamberlain, Matt Curry, Rufus McLean, etc., Connor Boyle, and like absolutely pumped Wales. And I think he was also making the point that, you know, Ireland have had a really good season despite, I think, last year, like under having some heavy defeats. So I think there's an element of that, but I think it's pretty difficult with it, you know, having said that, to look past the run of consecutive defeats that they've been on. And I think we've talked about it before as well, like the commensurate rise of Italy and Georgia, who now are, Italy beat England again in the other day, which is absolutely massive. Like, Georgia absolutely humped us, and not for the first time in recent years. Lost comfortably to Fiji in the last under-20s World Cup. Like, it's slightly worrying at the same time that these other sort of more fringe tier two nations seem to have really got their act together.
They certainly do. Alan, you were going to say something there?
No, I guess I'll just say that the results have gotten so bad that Scottish Rugby have just stopped updating the under-20 results on their website.
Well, they stopped. They didn't live tweet the Ireland game.
Yeah.
Which they've been doing throughout the summer series, and people like us retweeting them with sort of like reaction photos from Grand Designs and stuff like that. Not, you know, that's not what you need.
No.
I had to go into like the darkest recesses of my memes folder to find that sort of stuff. I mean, it's really difficult for these young lads. I think they're clearly being failed by a system.
Yeah, I would say, I guess two issues, and these are obviously pretty big issues, is, you know, firstly, I think especially when you look at sort of the Georgia match and sort of moments of sort of the Ireland-Italy match, it did look a little bit like men versus boys.
Yeah.
And then I think the back line basically hasn't been functioning well at all. And actually there's been a lot of just like simple mistakes across all the matches that have just completely sort of slowed down any sort of attacking play that Scotland have been pulling together. I guess in terms of bright spots, there's this blindside flanker, Liam McConnell, he might even be 17.
Yeah.
And he doesn't particularly look out of place. If anything, he's probably one of the better sort of Scotland players on the pitch. And I think we've had a couple of people sort of speak to us about him who are sort of been watching a lot of Super Six, and he looks like he could be a bit of a prospect. And then the other one, I like the leather.
If there's one thing we need, is more back rows.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
For fuck's sake, can we not get like something else?
I think Leather Barrow and Harrison, both two others, yeah, that have sort of stood out as being Harrison, especially obviously, absolute try scoring wizard.
You know the real issue is though, it's Dalton's bonus once again. I think one of the interesting things is that a lot of people are pointing to the fact that apparently Italy now have this kind of semi-pro league with 10 teams in it. And a lot of those guys have been getting regular game time in it. And whisper it, but that is presumably part of what Super Six is there for. So if Super Six is allowed to continue and it gets better and more of those guys are playing, more, you know, representation in the West, a lot of people like it's their bugbear, but maybe that will actually help, because I think ultimately you do see some of those guys are playing all their rugby in Premiership sides, and the Premiership now is not the same as Prem 1 used to be because of Super 6. So whether they're being exposed to a high enough level is probably up for debate.
I was interested to see an article this week that there's talks between like the Irish provinces and some of the South African teams about setting up an A league. Now, whether that actually comes to pass, but you know, that would be another sort of interlocker between Super Six and the full pro. But obviously, it's resource intensive. So I just don't think we're in a position where we could put forward the numbers for something like that.
Yeah, that's sort of the key issue when you get down to that sort of A league level is ultimately, it's not going to make a return just because not a lot of people are going to pay to watch it. And I guess once you start throwing in like the Cheetahs and like Griqua and all these other sort of South African teams, just that level of travel to send, you know, what will ultimately be sort of a mix of sort of kind of fringe players and academy players, just not sure if it's worth it. My only thing with that Italian league is, do you really think that like top 10 league is like any better than what probably the Prem was?
What, the Scottish Prem?
Yeah, back in the day. I don't really believe that there's like this sort of like slight even higher level sort of semi-pro competition in Italy. When you look at how bad Zebra are, like, can't.
I'm pretty sure Zebra would win Prem 1, right?
I honestly don't know if Zebra would Super 6. I think Air would beat them.
That would be so good. The cross-border match. Yeah. With champion Super 6 against Zebra.
The heat is pickling your mind, surely.
But look, as you said, I think, you know, not only Italy being good this year, but Italy being good the last few years. And obviously Garbisi is starting at 10 for who are now the top 14 champions. Yeah. So they basically looks like they've got sort of their 10 position sort of locked in for like the next 10 years. You know, when you look at sort of what's sort of coming through from Italy, and you look at maybe the amount of talent that's coming through from the sort of Scottish ranks, does sort of worry me a little bit that it was always just nice for the last sort of 8 years. Kind of always felt like we would beat Italy. Maybe the last 5 years. And I just wonder if that shift's going to change a little bit back to sort of the old dark days.
Italy did just lose to Georgia, though.
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know. We're getting quite good at supplementing our national side with people that played England under 20s, to be fair.
Yeah, or South Africa under 20s.
Or South Africa under 20s or wherever. I think that's the thing. We're a little bit more sort of blasé about just going and mining in different pools.
Fair, that's fair.
I mean, I do think we should get a better age grade system, but I don't know. We'll see if it actually comes to pass, but it certainly isn't looking good. But speaking of Super Six, Adam Ash has retired from his Americans. Well, he's retired from rugby, leaving the Giltinis after a year in Major League Rugby, and he's come back to coach at Stirling County, which means, I think on current trends, he'll be a Glasgow coach in about 18 months, Matt, probably in the Scotland setup within three.
Yeah, that's the thing. I suppose he's been out of the system for a while, being in America, so that might count against him. He's got out at the right time, because I think the Giltinis were kicked out of Major League Rugby.
It's a pretty big whiff of a little bit of like corruption and money embezzlement or something going on there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, so, you know, whether Ash had, you know, he'd seen some bad stuff and he was like, I've got to get out of here before the SEC comes to me or something. like, you know, I'm going to go and hunker down in Stirling.
Do you think this is like the sort of Scottish equivalent of when that lad tried to retire from Montpellier to like escape his sort of contract and become a farmer and then sort of re-emerged? So this is all a ruse from Ash to like escape that like guilty's like just created some fake sort of like x-rays of some bulging discs in his neck. And he's actually going to sort of like pop out of retirement for the Stirling Wolves in about 6 months.
And then he would definitely play for Glasgow as well.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be quite a good little story.
Possibly a route back in with Old Glory DC. We've got to do something with it.
Mate, Old Glory DC, they're done. They are the worst team in like what is an increasingly terrible league, I think.
What do you think that half a million investment that the SRU made is worth in the open market now?
I think negative. There's probably debts.
Yeah.
Debts that need to be paid.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this absolute black hole of capital.
Oh dear. Well, we will keep an eye on the collapse of Major League Rugby, but also the return of Adam Ash. Very, very closely, and keep you guys in touch. But I think we've rattled on probably long enough about the news of the day without even touching on the fact that Scotland have got a sort of series deciding game against Argentina this weekend after what was a pretty surprising win against Argentina at the weekend, running out 29-6 victors in the end. We were sort of in our usual sort of WhatsApp comms, and Matt, you touched on it earlier, but that first half performance was pretty poor. I mean, let's start there. But what did Scotland do to turn it around?
Yeah, I genuinely think that it was one of the worst 40s in, or maybe 35 minutes or so, that I've seen from Scotland in quite a long time. Like, the basic handling errors, particularly in the backs, were just looked genuinely amateur. It looked like they hadn't played together. Or just their ability to execute under pressure was completely non-existent. I think it was the usual, like when we managed to get back into the game, through some bright sparks, muck up a restart, concede easy points. Intensity in defense wasn't really there. But to be fair, I think from the moment that Kinghorn or Gilchrist turned down those easy three, went to the corner, and then Watson managed to score from that point, like, I suppose it got a bit of momentum. And you could see clearly Townsend must have said at halftime, like, look, we just need to keep things a bit more simple, take the game to Argentina in a more direct manner. And that was what really led to the other tries. Like, it was pretty simple stuff, like 1-2 out runners, hitting hard lines. And I think married to that as well, to be fair, the intensity lifted from that point, and the Scottish defence was actually pretty good, particularly on our own line when Argentina really probably should have scored a couple of times. So to keep them scoreless at their patch is pretty impressive. And I think that all the bench came on and did a pretty decent job.
Alan, you touched upon it a little bit off air. Did Scotland play well, or were Argentina quite poor in the second half?
I was just going to say, I think Hanny's intro has got to be the bleakest intro for a 29-6 away win of all time.
Yeah.
Not that I particularly disagree with. I think, you know, not to be, we'll probably look on the negatives a bit too much, but I don't think Argentina played well at all. And I think a lot of kind of the criticisms that Matt gave to Scotland there almost doubly applied to Argentina in terms of just sort of basic errors and not sort of having much sort of structure to their play. But look, I think at the end of the day, a lot of, especially in the forwards, you know, especially across that back row and front row, they sort of stood up and in sort of key moments and really sort of probably dominated their opposite man. I think one of the key stats that we're looking at, I think when you look at sort of the match stats, actually a lot of it's quite similar in terms of possession was basically 50-50, territory was 50-50, meters made was 50-50. Where there was sort of a big gap was in terms of turnovers conceded. Argentina 16, Scotland 8. And a lot of that was on the pressure that our back row and then probably the props, Schumann and Xander Ferguson, were putting on that Argentina pack at the breakdown.
Yeah, the scrum certainly are our strong subject, but the scrum certainly returned as a weapon for Scotland. And Matt, what did you make of that? But I guess something that we might know a little bit more about, the dual sort of fetchers in Darge and Watson in the back row seem to really have the desired effect.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I was too harsh about Scotland, but I think I was mainly just trying to emphasise the contrast in those two halves. But yeah, actually, I think from minute one, Scotland had the ascendancy in the scrum against a side that are, you know, traditionally strong in that area. I think we know what Schumann's going to bring. Like, I struggle to think of a time he's had a bad game for Scotland, but maybe Fagerson since the Lions tour hasn't really hit those heights, but he played really well both in the loose and tight, so that was nice to see. And yeah, in terms of the fetches, like, it was Darge doing what we know Darge can do, but it was really nice to see once again. I think Watson, although he hasn't had a bad season, like maybe a little bit of a Lions hangover, but I'd say that was his best game in a long time. And he was just doing all those things that we've come to love. And I think actually a lot of his interventions were at big moments. And yeah, it seems as if like that strategy works, and just purely on form, you probably want to try and get Darge and Watson on the pitch as much as possible. And then at the same time, I think that Matt Ferguson had one of his best games for Scotland as well. Thought he played really, really well, stepped up, and got his try, which is his first try for Scotland, which I was quite surprised by.
Really? But
yeah, apparently.
That's bad.
Yeah, so I think he was really good. And I think that, you know, if everyone's fit and on form, that seems like a back row to take into the World Cup, I'd say.
What, ahead of Richie?
Actually, good point. Maybe Richie comes into that, but yeah, maybe it just gives you a different way to play. But I don't think Richie coming back in is a foregone conclusion. Maybe put him in the row. I don't know.
I'd love it. I know it's an interesting one. I guess it's you obviously want Darge and Watson both in the team, but I just wonder whether, both in terms of sort of line out, but just general sort of ball carrying options, whether you lose something. Although now you say that, Watson's obviously a bit of a bulldozer, and whilst Darge doesn't have massive size, he's so good at sort of changing direction just before the point of contact that actually he makes a lot of yards even in the tight. I'm still not sure whether he should be ahead of Richie though.
What were you going to say, Alan?
I was going to say, do you think this is the first game for a long time where our starting front row didn't give away a penalty for the whole match? Xander Ferguson, Schumann and Cherry, no penalties given. I feel like when you sort of look back at some of the people that we've had in the front row, and include Xander Ferguson, Schumann, but then obviously like Rambo, Turner and Brown,
yeah,
our front row has historically been an absolute penalty machine.
I'd love to see how many games Xander Ferguson's not given away a penalty in. I generally think across his like career, it's going to be fairly low.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's a factor of the fact that, you know, he is in the front row and there's lots of sort of pinging that goes on there, but also he just loves it. He loves giving away pens.
100%.
Going into the back line, I mean, a couple of nice tries, lovely line from Mark Bennett and a good score from Sam Johnson as well. But Matt, is there still a feeling that we haven't quite worked out what that Scotland midfield needs to look like?
Yeah, it particularly in that first half, and I think the way that they tried to bring in Hutchinson, it just didn't work. And I think it maybe comes back to, I mean, it's the big question about whether Kinghorn is a 10 is definitely part of that. I think so far for Scotland, he's only really had Johnson outside him, who's kind of been used as a crash ball. And it seems as if Kinghorn might do better with more of a ball-playing option, someone to take a little bit of pressure off him. Because for whatever reason, when Johnson was trying to hit a short line, he wasn't on the same wavelength as Kinghorn. He was just, you know, getting the ball with the defence in his face. And it's difficult to say, I suppose, because the execution and attack, particularly in that first half with Kinghorn 10, was so poor. But then I think a lot of people were saying when Thompson came on and Kinghorn went to 15, like our shape looked a lot better. But I think we actually didn't really play much through Thompson. A lot of the play really came through the forwards and actually from White sort of picking and putting a few passes into the midfield directly. So I can't really remember a time when Johnson, you know, absent that well-taken try at the weekend, that he's had a really big performance for Scotland of late. And I wonder if it's time to try someone else out at 12, maybe move Hutchinson infield, for instance.
Do you think round three of Blair Kinghorn with Hutchinson at 12?
I mean, that could be an absolute disaster as well. Like, they'd never played together. Both more sort of like ball players. I don't know. I'm quite a strong advocate that Kinghorn should just play at 15.
I was going to ask, and there'll be a day when we don't have to talk about this, I hope, at some stage, but where are we on Kinghorn at that? Like, I think, are we kind of all that if we were picking the Scotland World Cup squad tomorrow, it would be, you know, Finn and Hastings, but then Kinghorn sort of there as a third, but really never expected to play there?
Like, yeah.
Like, he's a good alternate to have, but why are we starting him in big games?
I do agree. But I think a little bit linked to what Matt said is he's basically played the whole his best games for Edinburgh probably come when he's playing with Lang at 12 and had this sort of second distributor. He's never
Or the Sweet Prince.
Or the Sweet Prince, apologies. Who, I would say, his distribution game has improved immensely over the last couple of years.
And he should be in Argentina. Anyway.
It feels like, again, if we're going to try and ease Kinghorn into international rugby, it would make sense to play a similar way to how he plays for Edinburgh. So to the point Matt made, that sort of lends yourself to probably playing Rory Hutchinson at 12 and having that second distributor rather than what we've done with the last two games, plus obviously the Ireland game where we had more of a ball carrying player at 12. So I think I probably do agree that it's Russell and Hastings with Kinghorn's a 15, but with the option to kind of break glass in case of emergency. But I think ultimately, if we're going to try and do this option with Kinghorn, we should at least be playing similar way to how he's sort of structured at Edinburgh. So, and also at the same time, I'd like to see Ollie Smith get a run at 15. It would seem a bit stupid to have kept him out in Argentina.
You've got a lot of shares in Ollie Smith.
I do. I like him. I think he's sort of, he's one of these players that I feel like transition to pro rugby super easily, looks really confident in that kind of like second half of the season with Glasgow. And I think he's still got quite a bit of a ceiling to go. So if you've sort of kept him out there for a sort of additional 3 weeks, if it seems a bit ridiculous to not at least kind of give him one go against Argentina on the tour, although maybe the fact that it's going to a decider means that they might sort of keep him out of the at least the 15.
Are we playing for a trophy? Have they made up a trophy for this tour?
I think there is a trophy, but I'd be lying if I knew the name of it.
Well, why don't you then talk a little bit about the what changes you think should be made ahead of this weekend if we're going to bring home this trophy, and I'm going to do some research to find out what it is.
Well, I'm not sure of the status on... Sorry, my dog's getting in the way. Status of Roy Hutchinson, who went off. So if he is unfit, then that potentially would see either Ollie Smith coming in or that reversion of Kinghorn to 15, Thompson to 10. But apart from that, you know, as we said, maybe I'd like to see Hutchinson played in his actual position rather than at fullback, where I just think he's wasted. And given sort of some question marks around Sam Johnson. Apart from that, I'm not sure who else I would really bring in. I think the pack all deserve to have another shot. Maybe Ashman at two, like to see him. Maybe Turner come in. I think they just offer a little bit more than Cherry, but he had a decent enough game in the end. So not sure how many subs it would make. I think Kyle Rose tours over, so I'd imagine Smith will probably be involved in some capacity.
Little sidebar on Kyle Rowe, the video Scotland put up of him crying when he got given his cap.
That was so great good stuff. He was also absolutely greeting in the anthems.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Just a quick update as well on the trophy. They seem to have been given a trophy after the second test.
Oh, no, I did see that. I think Argentina celebrated with a trophy after the first match, and then Scotland celebrated with a trophy after the second match.
It's Mark Palmer's the Copa Visa Macro is the opening of Mark Palmer's in Sunday Times' match review. May not be the most sought after trophy on the planet, says here.
But is it branded as in Visa?
Actually, that's a really good point. Well, Copa obviously means cup. Visa Macro. If it was Macron, that would make more sense. I don't know.
I think
but if they've been given it, and this does it like pass between them? Like, did Argentina get it in the first test? Did we get it in the second?
Is that not like the Rand Fairley Shield in New Zealand that you beat a team and you get it straight away?
No, that is, yeah. I mean, that is true. If you beat a team away from home that has around Fairleigh's shield, then you get it. Yeah, I think it is. It's sponsorship. Visa Macro is some sort of Visa service in
in Argentina. Oh, so it's like a news like prepaid debit card or something.
Yeah, I guess it would be like the Visa debit cup in the UK.
That's amazing.
I want it. Look, if it's on offer, I'll have it. God, the Scottish Rugby Trophy Cabinet is so barren. It's got like the Auld Alliance Trophy, whatever that we play against for Italy, and this one.
And Calcutta.
The what? Oh,
got, sorry.
The Calcutta.
But Alan, I can't even remember what Matt said now. I was too busy learning about the trophy. What changes do you think we need to bring home the Visa Macro?
I guess the only thing is whether, obviously there's a few players out there that haven't had too much game time, or I guess it's whether there's anything more than the win that we're going to be going after with this sort of third match. You know, obviously we look at the back row, they obviously switched out Crosbrey and Bradbury and brought in Darge and Watson. I guess whether they're going to do any more tinkering in that space. Do you try and bring in Cummings to give him some time against an Argentina when obviously he's been out there for a month and only played Chile? I think it's likely they'll try and go for the series win, which would lead me to suggest that I think in the pack, maybe Turner you bring in. I wonder whether they quite like Cherry just from a sort of throwing option, especially given the fact that sort of obviously Darge and Ferguson aren't, or especially Darge isn't sort of as used to being sort of lifted as maybe some of the sixes that we normally had, like a Luke Crosbey or Richie. But no, I think outside of change at hooker and then potentially bringing Hutchinson at 12, I think just keep it pretty steady. Take then the win, and let's be drinking some Kielmes out of the Visa Macro Cup.
Ah, oh, you hope it has. It does look like you can drink out of it. Well, Matt, why don't I give you sort of 10 fake pounds? Give me a bet on the outcome and a bet on a try scorer as well.
I think it'll be closer than last week. I don't know if Argentina will be quite as bad again, and they'll obviously be pretty motivated. But I think if Scotland put out a similar team and managed to like replicate that second half performance, and particularly that kind of like intensity in the forwards, then I could see us winning by 8 or 10.
I'm sure.
And then try scorer, I can see Bennett picking up another one, actually.
Doing all for the Benzo.
He's looked sharp.
He absolutely has.
What do you think the bookies have the spread at? I've got it in front of me. So
Argentina by 3.
Matt?
Scotland by 3.
Argentina by 1.
Oof.
Right.
That is tight.
So
Scotland to beat the spread.
Yeah, well, yeah, my
what are you putting the 10 quid?
Argentina to be winning at halftime, Scotland to be winning at full time.
Nice.
Like that. What was the bet you put on today, Alan?
Put £10, which was the maximum I was allowed to, on Edinburgh to win the URC at 50-1.
You're allowed to buy your wife or bet 365.
What do you say?
Self-imposed gambling limit, or
no? That is obviously Betfair. Like, this guy is too good at gambling.
he knows.
even though his track record is of cumulative losses, this is a turning point. So we're going to have to stop him. But no, I guess obviously I don't know whether it's like the market's not big enough. But I think ultimately, if you ran the URC 22-23 season 50 times, I think there's a chance Edinburgh win more than once. Or at least they don't. So I actually think there's pretty good odds there. I think with Skinner coming in at the row, Goosen on the wing, not a lot of people leaving. Maybe, you know, Kinghorn with a bit longer under his belt in terms of playing 10. I think they're going to be, I think they're going to have a really good regular season. Whether they can do it in the playoffs is a different story, but I think Edinburgh will be sort of top three come the end of the regular season.
Ooh, I look forward to the dinner you buy us with your 500 quid next year. It's going to be great. We actually didn't, and this is my fault because I've got it written down on my show notes. Matt, you were going to wax lyrical about Ben White. We just never got around to it.
Yeah, he was class. I think I haven't really seen. I think Ali Price maybe struggled a bit for form towards the end of last of this season. And White, for a guy who's actually, I was looking at it, he's not actually really started that much for London Irish this season, but he's always looked pretty good for Scotland. And I thought he had an absolute blinder. I think his box kicks were on the money throughout. And then I think it was really him that sparked a lot of Scotland's good attacking play in the second half through sort of picking from the base, being a threat in a way that we know Ali Price can be. He just maybe hasn't been able to show it recently. So, yeah, I think he's very deserved to keep his place for the decider, I reckon.
Well, there we go. Well, let's finish it on Ben White. Obviously, Scotland versus Argentina, the decider, the Copa Visa macro is coming home. And we will be back next week to break it down for you. That'll be here, wherever you get your podcasts. But follow us on Twitter. We'll be live tweeting the game at Thistle Rugby Pod. On Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we'll be wrapping it up in the newsletter on Monday morning on Substack. So get yourself on there and subscribe. Until then, cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.